We've been on a series now for a number of weeks, this week five that I've been preaching on walking in newness of life. Now, this series, this message, in my estimation, in Amy's too, we talked about it. This is the end game of God right here, walking in newness of life. Because when you walk in newness of life, you're actually walking completely filled with God, led by God, the Holy Spirit, and you're walking together in a purposeful life that He, before the foundation of the world, gave you. And so the end game, that when Jesus went to the cross, He went to the cross to purchase a bride that would be ruling and reigning with Him and able to rule and reign with Him. Remember, it's not Jesus and the seven dwarfs. It's Jesus and a band of brothers. Romans 8:29. And we have to understand that Jesus, when He went to the cross and He died for us to save us, it was not just to punch our ticket for heaven. He wants us to be His body now on the earth, that He can in His fullness fill us. And so we have been preaching this series of revelations on walking in the newness of life, of which we're using Watchman Nee's book, The Normal Christian Life. How many of you know about The Normal Christian Life? Have you heard of that book? You need to get that book. It's truly a top 10 book in history, I would imagine. Almost every single person who preaches on sanctification or holiness, which is basically what we're talking about today, uses the revelations that Watchman Nee received. He was a Chinese believer, and we love Watchman Nee. Now, some of you might get him confused with his brother Witness Lee, who got off into air. Please understand, we're talking Watchman Nee. Okay? Anyway, his book, The Normal Christian Life, we want to recommend that to you and devour that, if you would. And so a lot of the notes today are, it's a hybrid of my notes and quotes from Watchman Nee for the most part. And so we have four steps of learning how to walk in resurrection power, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And these four steps are knowing, reckoning, presenting, and walking. Everybody say with me, knowing, reckoning, presenting, and walking. And these are the four steps of the victorious life spelled out in the book of Romans. Okay? And these are sequential. You've got to know before you can reckon. And after you reckon, you can present. And when you present, now you can walk. And so it's really important that we understand that there is a progression of these steps. Okay? And over the last few weeks, we've been on knowing a lot. Oh, man, have we been on knowing. You know, there is a major identity problem with so many people in the earth. But in the church, there's a massive identity problem. And you hear messages on the authority of the believer and dominion and power. And a lot of times we fail to walk in the fullness of that, probably because we are failing in identity. Whether that there's a disconnect with really who God says I am and me believing who God says I am. I am who He says I am. I have what He says I have. I can do what He says I can do. I'm going to say it again. I am what He says I am. When He says, what I've cleansed don't you call common, what's that mean? That means I got to accept if God, who has a higher standard of holiness than me, says I'm clean, well, who am I to say I'm not? The devil's going to be saying you're not. And people around you might be thinking you're a knucklehead, but you got to be able to turn away from that and say, in Jesus' name, I am who He says I am. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so we've been talking a lot, you know, about knowing and then reckoning. And then today we're going to get in presenting. But if you would turn to the first page, and I just want to encourage all of us that I will read every single word of these notes today. So, Amy and I were talking about it. She said, I think people get afraid when you give these notes, like, you know, tons of words. Well, we might cover one fourth of this, you know. So just, these are over a 5-week period notes, okay? So you don't have to relax. I promise I will not preach all this today. What's that? Yeah, take them home. Take them home. But on the first page, I want to read 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 17, some of the most powerful verses in the Bible. It says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died." Did Jesus die for everyone? Yes. Then all died. And that includes you and me. So you just lift your hands right now and say, "Adam died in me." The old man, the old nature, the sin nature died in me. It was crucified in me. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves. As a Christian, you're going to have controversies with God if you try to live for yourself. There are a majority of Christians on the planet that have more controversies with God than with the devil. Because the issue is self-will, that super strong self-will that refuses to yield itself to God. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But the Bible says that because he died for all, that now we who are in him should no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died for us and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. And you know, let me just stop and say this, that we are learning to walk in the new creation man and not walk in the old man or the flesh. And we owe it to the kingdom of God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, who purchased this newness of life walk, that we don't accept a low standard. That's just who I am. I've tried to walk like Christ, and I'm just a big, big failure. Or that you look at other people with a critical eye and you judge here, here, and here with everybody else. Remember this about judging. It's all coming back to you. Every bit of your judgment, when you open your mouth and you start judging, you know this, it's a boomerang. And it's going to knock you in the head. Can I go on, Ames? Judging is not cool with God. So get rid of the judging out of your life. Okay? We're not judgers. Anyone can judge, but can you save? How many of you want to be a judge? How many of you want to be a savior? Okay? I want to be a savior. That's what God called me to be his body, who is the body of Jesus Christ. And Jesus did not come to destroy men's lives, but came to save them. Amen? Now, he says here, therefore, in verse 17, maybe the greatest New Testament verse, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Don't lift your hand, but how many of you found some of the old things show up this last week? They showed up. Did anybody? Oh, I told you not to lift your hand. Okay, so there's a dilemma here that the old man wants to show up. And he does show up. And we are, part of our walk is still bound in that old man. And this is why I want to encourage all of us today that your life is not in the old man, it's in the new creation. And I believe that we're progressing out of the old and into the new. It's becoming more and more our history. And our identity cannot be that I'm a knucklehead in the old man, but I'm in Christ, the new man. And I'm turning away from the past and I'm looking forward. Do you know when God called Abraham, he built an altar. It says between Ai and Hebron. Ai means heap of ruins. Hebron means house of God. And so he actually built an altar between those two cities, but facing Hebron. He made a decision to turn away from the past and the heap of ruins and the old, and he turned to the new. Can we lift our hands right now and make that same decision? Lord, we thank you for that. And the very next paragraph, you see the old man still clings to us. We went over that. Lazarus is a very good example. Resurrection life came to him, a man who was dead 4 days. But when he came out of the grave, he was still bound with grave clothes. And Jesus said to those around, "Loose him and let him go." And that's what these Sunday morning messages, it's a series on really that we're being loose from the old grave clothes. Even though we got resurrection life in us, these grave clothes are keeping us bound. And we're learning to be loose from that and go forward in Christ. One more time, lift your hands. I'm going to pray this over you. Philippians 3:10. Oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. This morning, the River Family Church, we're hungry to know him in the power of his resurrection and embracing the fellowship of his sufferings. And we at the River are being conformed to the image of his death. Okay? Because what we found out about the victorious Christian life, that death is the key to the emancipation or the liberty or the freedom that we'll have to walk in the new man. If we don't embrace the death of Christ, we will never be able to walk in the resurrection of Christ. Amen? And so, the very first thought, if you go to the next page, first step is knowing. Just as a real quick review. Verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that we died with him, that we were buried with him, that the body of sin might be done away with or put on the unemployment line. It means to be made inactive, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, the Bible says that if Christ died for all, then all are... You guys are good over here on this. Huh? I didn't get anything on that. So. If the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:14 that Christ died for all, so all, that means that all are dead. So are you dead? According to the divine revelation, the record that God gave, that every last one of us, that when we got born again by the operation of God, Colossians 2:12, that God put us by the operation, put us into Christ. He took all of the Adamic race and put the whole Adamic family into Christ on the cross. Killed it, buried it, and God expects the old man to stay in the ground. And so today, this morning, you have a decision to make. Am I going to believe the divine record that my old man was crucified and is dead, and now I'm freed from sin? Or am I going to believe my current history that says sin is still very much alive in my life? You have to make this decision to believe the Word of God. You have to know that your old man is dead. And then you have to reckon him so. Now remember about reckoning. What is reckoning? It's what kind of a word? It's a faith word. It is a faith word. You know, I have one regret about my 30 years in ministry, that I've preached too briefly on these topics. I should preach a month on knowing and a month on reckoning and a month. Because these things, Amy and I sometimes struggle over them to get them. And, I mean, how are you going to get it in 30 minutes? It could be overwhelming for you. Sometimes there's just one more point. I am telling you, right here is the key into an amazing, victorious walk in Christ. Your notes today will lead you down a path of victory that will change this world. I so believe in the Word of God and what these notes are telling us today about our life. And so, are you with me today? Do you know and are you reckoning that you are dead in Christ? Now, in the blue right here, this is my little commentary from a couple weeks ago. Divine revelation, which is the Word of God, tells me I am crucified with Christ, dead with Christ, and buried with Christ. All by the operation of God. Whether I feel resurrection power or am currently experiencing it, even if in my flesh sin is still active, I must accept the Word of God, what the Word of God says about my new life in Christ. More than accept it, I must actively believe that I am dead in Christ. I must know and believe this divine fact. Do you know and do you believe that in Christ your old man was put to death? Then let's all thank God for that. Because you know who was the biggest enemy in your life, the biggest problem? Not the devil. Your old man. Your old man is a traitor, betraying you, robbing you of blessings, taking your spiritual life from you. The biggest enemy that you face is your old man. I hope you believe that. Put to death. Now we're ready for presenting. So if you turn the page. The main verse is Romans 6:13. And do not present. Everybody say present. That means to offer or yield. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of the righteousness of God. I picked a different translation for Romans 6 this week. I love the Phillips translation. I'm going to read this quickly. I'm not going to take time to have commentary on it because I want to get to the main points on presenting your life to God. Romans 6, 1, let's start there. Now, what is our response to be? Shall we sin to our heart's content and see how far we can exploit the grace of God? What a ghastly thought. We who have died to sin, how could we live in sin a moment longer? Have you forgotten that all of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were, by that very action, sharing in his death? We were dead and buried with him in baptism, so that just as he was raised from the dead by that splendid revelation of the Father's power, so we too might rise to life on a new plane altogether. If we have, as it were, shared his death, let us rise and live in our new lives with him. Let us never forget that our old selves died with him on the cross, that the tyranny of sin over us might be broken. For a dead man can safely be said to be immune to the power of sin. And if we were dead men with him, we can believe, everybody say we can believe. We can believe that we shall also be men newly alive with him. We can be sure that the risen Christ never dies again. Death's power to touch him is finished. He died because of sin once. He lives for God forever. In the same way, look upon yourselves as dead to the appeal and power of sin, but alive and sensitive to the call of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do not then allow sin to establish any power over your mortal bodies in making you give way to your lusts, nor hand over your organs to be, as it were, weapons of evil for the devil's purposes. But like men rescued from certain death, put yourselves in God's hands as weapons of good for his own purposes. For sin is not meant to be your master. You are no longer living under the law, but under grace. Amen. Now, turn the page. I've got a few thoughts about what does it really mean when it says present yourselves to God. The first thought, in presenting yourself unto God, you are acknowledging in that presentation God's absolute ownership over your life. When you got born again, you didn't get set free. Ownership transferred from really the devil to Jesus. Okay? Jesus, the word redemption, there's four Greek words for redemption in the New Testament. One of the four words used for redemption has the idea of being delivered off of a slave market. So we were all on Satan's slave market, bound in sin and death. And when Jesus found us, he bought us off the slave market to himself. Now we're bond slaves. Okay, that's really what the truth is. And so, but there's these controversies and crises that we have with God, because I think a lot of us in our life, we think we're still free just to do what we want to do. He set us free, and now I'm just going to do my thing. I had a long talk with somebody and said, I don't think that God really has a specific plan for my life. I think he saved me out of sin, yes, and I'm born again, yes. But God wants me to kind of figure things out. Well, that's for sure. He wants all of us to figure things out. But whatever I choose is okay with God. I want to tell you right now, that's a big fat lie. From before the foundation of the world, God knew you and planned for you to be someone special. There is a unique and specific path for each person. And the more agitation you'll have in your life when you are not on that path that he created for you. And when you find that path, you're going to have a whole lot more peace. Now, I've had a whole lot more battles in my life when I became a pastor than I ever did on the farm in Indiana. I was one happy little guy. I had a slow poke candy bar. I mean, remember those slow poke things that, just hours you could chew on that chocolate taffy. And just life, we remember those days, right? All of a sudden we get to be adults and start taking on responsibility. And now, Paul said he had to fight wild beasts of Ephesus. I mean, there's in the ministry, you're always fighting something. Besides fears within, there's things still goofy in me. Probably not as much as in you, but still I got a couple items. A little bit goofy. Paul said fears within and fears without. Things that are not quite right inside. Things that are definitely not right outside. And so, but when in all the battling, in all the wrestling, in all the, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but all the warfare that we could talk about and get caught up in. Hey, you know what? I got joy and peace because I'm fighting right next to Jesus. I mean, if you can acknowledge this, that you're in your battle and you right now you look to your right and there's Jesus and he's got sweat and blood on him. And he's, this is what's important, that we understand that if we're on God's path, even though it might be with many battles, it's God's path, that this light affliction will yield for you a far more exceeding weight of glory. Be encouraged today that there is a specific plan for your life, and fight for it and go for it. And even if you discover it at year 99, praise God, you discovered it. Okay, it's never too late. I just want to encourage you. And those of you that are young, get on it and stay on it. Romans 14, 7 through 9, the first verse here. This is a verse that we have talked a lot about at the river. Almost every week you hear me say it. For none of us live unto ourselves, and no one dies unto ourselves. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For this purpose did the Lord both die and rise again, that he should be Lord both of the living and the dead. This is, when you got born again, you read the contract and said, let's see. Well, if I don't sign this contract, I'm going to hell. It's the best deal ever. I get eternal life. I get to be called a son of God. I come into the family of God. I get blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I get the honor of being the very body of God in the earth. That God gets to inhabit my body, my mind, my hands, my eyes. All the fantastic stuff that are still blowing our minds. And then you read, not in fine print, but it's very clear. The other thing is, Jesus is Lord. He's just not Savior, that he gives you everything. He also is your Lord, that you have no rights anymore. Do you understand this? You really don't have any rights. I don't know if you believe me. All your controversies would go away immediately if you could accept his lordship completely. That same thing, that pride and arrogance and selfishness that got the devil, the five I wills in Isaiah, I will ascend above the throne of God. I will be like the Most High. I will be. That led Lucifer. What did Lucifer, Satan, tell Eve? And God knows that when you eat of this fruit, you will be like him. And there's this God instinct inside even the fallen man to where we won't live at the tree of life, but we want to go to the tree of knowledge of good and evil and eat from that tree and be our own God. Now, this is a message on sanctification, on consecration and holiness. And the only way you can ever get there is by faith in the finished work of Christ and then submitting to the Lordship. If I don't talk about Lordship for a moment, you guys might get a distorted picture. Don't be one of these Christians that pick and chooses the scriptures and promises that you want to run with. I like all the authority promises, and I like all the power promises, and I like all the prosperity promises. No, you have to take all the Word of God. Take all the Word of God. Submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Give Him everything. Look at 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift? Everybody say a gift. You have a gift from God. God gave you Himself. Lift your hands. This is really the gift of God. I'm going to give you me. All that God is. Lord, thank you. Forgive us for ignoring you. Forgive us for walking independently of you. Forgive us for our short-sightedness that thanks you sincerely for eternal life and going to heaven one day, but totally ignores you on a personal day-by-day walk. Whom you have received as a gift from God, you are not your own. Can you see that? That's 1 Corinthians 6:19. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Purchased with the preciousness and paid for, made his own. So then honor God, capital G by the way, and bring glory to him in your body. So, Father, we thank you today that we acknowledge your absolute ownership over our life. Watchman Nee writes these words, presenting myself to God means that henceforth I consider my whole life as now belonging to the Lord. God requires of me that I now regard all my members, all my faculties as belonging wholly to him. It is a great thing when I discover I am no longer my own, but his. If the $10 in my pocket belong to me, then I have full authority over them. But if they belong to another who has committed them to my trust, in my trust, then I cannot buy what I please with them, and I dare not lose them. Real Christian life begins with knowing this. How many of us know that because Christ is risen, we are therefore alive unto God and not unto ourselves? How many of us dare not use our time or money or talents as we would because we realize that they are the Lord's and not ours? How many of us have such a strong sense that we belong to another and that we dare not squander a dollar of our money or an hour of our time or any of our mental or physical powers? This is somebody writing who had a great degree of consecration, and he had walked out of the shallows of his Christian life into the depths of Christ. And he recognized and he had a revelation that my hands are God's hands now. I don't have ownership of my life. It's been transferred to him. Second point, in presenting yourself to God, you also acknowledge your reasonable, devoted, and intelligent service to God. Romans 12:1, I appeal to you, River family, therefore, brethren at the river, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice. Presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, and consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, and intelligent service and spiritual worship. So you know what? I was a dead man. I was on my way to hell. Jesus saved me. I received him into my life. Isn't it reasonable that I would turn and serve him? And not serve myself? Isn't that not a reasonable, mature response to the grace and mercy that came to me that now I would recognize I'm a man alive from the dead? I mean, now I'm serving Christ. Okay? Third point, in presenting yourself to God, you do so as a man back from the dead with a debt to pay. I love that thought. By grace, you are as one back from the dead, as born-again believers in Christ. We are now alive only unto God. Is this not our reasonable service? Presenting myself to God means that henceforth I consider my whole life as now belonging to the Lord. It's so important that we understand this. And you know, I had some really immature thoughts of this when I was a younger Christian. And I really held back on the Lordship of Jesus because I was convinced that he'd make me a missionary and send me to Africa. Okay? I mean, I had those thoughts at 16. That's the last place I wanted to do is leave America. I liked where I was at, you know, and in my mind, it was just going to be, I even had my little nephew say, "Matt, you're going to be poor." And we were already poor in the natural. And he said, you're actually going to be poor. You know that? And you'll probably be over, you know, in Africa. Many, many, many years later, it's my great joy to have been a missionary to Africa. It's like Todd, Dorothy, and Carol. Wasn't it just great? Loopy, wherever you are, it was great. Wasn't it just amazing? And, you know, when we actually experienced the goodness of God, that he could actually, we grew up in Christ, we began to know something of Christ that we could take to the world. And when we got to the place that early on in my life, I didn't want to go to India. I didn't want to go anywhere. But to now realize how ignorant I was back when I didn't know what I know now. Would you stand on your feet? We're gonna pick this up next week. Ownership. The big takeaway today is, will you acknowledge and do you agree with the divine record that Jesus Christ bought you with a price and that now all of our faculties are his? How many of you would say, yes, I agree to that. I'm going to submit to that. When you do submit to the lordship of Jesus, many controversies will go away almost instantly. You know, John, you don't remember this, but parents, all parents experience this. When we take our kids by the hand and we're taking them someplace they don't want to go. Yeah, do you guys remember it, John? I don't know if you remember. You know, but this is a move that all kids, it must be in the DNA, because they all do the same move. They drop through their bottom, and you got them by the hand, and you're dragging them. Remember that? You're dragging them. And they're just stubborn. And at the preschool, we see it every single day. I get texts sometimes from Hopi. "Pastor Matt, can you come down and get Riker? Who'd you text me this week? I forget. Josh. Oh, man, he's too good a kid to do that. I thought he grew out of that." Okay. How many of you know that sometimes we just want to drop? We get stubborn. God, I don't want to do what you want me to do. I don't want to do. But if we do, if we yield, if we present ourselves and offer ourselves unto God as a living sacrifice, acknowledging his rightful ownership and lordship over my life. He hasn't got bad things designed for you. He's got great things designed for you. You know, I was stubborn. I started dating a girl that I thought was cute in Houston. She was cute. She was funny. She was responsible. This person was an outstanding person. But I knew the Lord told me, do not date that girl. It wasn't long before we were in a 3 or 4 year relationship. I ended up seeing that girl for 5 years, engaged, ready to marry her and miss my eternal destiny and the blonde bomber on the front row. And I heard the Lord say to me, as I had the opportunity to leave Houston in that relationship, to go into the ministry. I'm crying. I'm literally crying. Because I don't want to leave my life. I got my twin brother here. All my college buddies. I got a great job. Never had money growing up. And now I got money. Got a really nice girl. That was not the plan for me. And when the offer came to go to a church in Dallas. And go on staff at a church in Dallas. I knew that death was coming. If that was to be possible, I had to die to every single thing that I loved in the world. My mom and dad are now in heaven. You know, so this is my world in Houston. And the Lord asked me to die, to give it up and move to Dallas. And I'm going down San Felipe Boulevard in Houston. Some of you know that street. And I am literally beating my steering wheel in this battle. I will not live selfishly. I didn't know this revelation, by the way, at the time. God, make me a blessing. And I am literally crying, beating the steering wheel, because I am just ticked off that I got to die. What I've been holding on to had to go in the ground. And I heard the Lord say to me very sternly, if you miss me now, you've missed me. Because the Lord knows. I would have stayed in that relationship. I was months from probably, getting married and being on a path that would never change for me, probably. I am so glad that at a crisis in my life, I just submitted to the Lordship. And I said, Lord, you called me to be a blessing. I cannot hold on to this life and be a blessing that you called me to. I give it to you. I don't know what happened. I don't know how it happened. But almost instantaneously, a peace came into my heart. And I was able to walk away from what I love, racquetball career. All this stuff. I moved to Dallas and I told John and Lisa Bevere. I said, John, don't fix me up with anybody. I'm totally consecrated to the Lord. All I want to do is serve Him. Well, lo and behold, John and Lisa talked to Amy about Matt Storrs moving to Dallas, and Amy said, don't even think about fixing me up with that guy. Because we had dated a couple of years earlier. And that's very true, right? Yeah, it is. Come on. But it's also true, the first time you saw me, the Lord spoke to you, there's your husband. We're out of time. I got a good joke about that. But both of us said no to each other. I mean, we didn't want to be dating anybody. We wanted the Lord. Within 6 weeks, Amy and I are engaged. And 7 months later, we were married. And a year later, we came out to pioneer the church. Less than 2.5 years from pastoring, starting the Honeywood Family Church, which Jim Welty's here today. He fell asleep. He tried to stay awake, but it's just everybody fell asleep that day. First message. But in 2.5 years, from a place where I was in a very selfish lifestyle, God took me and brought me to a place of consecration and obedience where I love the kingdom of God first and foremost. Amen. So when you're looking at your life, God can do a lot of things real quick. You have no idea what lies within you. But if you stay in Adam, He will steal from you your eternal destiny. And the world will be the poorer for it. And glory for the Lord Jesus will be robbed. How many of you will say, I'm ready to honor the King of Kings? He is worthy of my life. He thought I was worthy to die for. I declare that Jesus is worthy that I die for. I deny myself. I pick up my cross and I follow Christ today. How many of you are with me that the new creation man should be ruling and reigning and not the old one? So, Lord, we thank you for this today. We thank you. Say this prayer, Jesus, head of the church, King of kings, Lord of lords. You are my Savior and you're my Lord. You are the boss of my life. I submit all to you. All that I am, all that I have, is yours. Now, do you believe those words? Were you serious when you said those words? That He might ask you for those resources. He might ask you for your time this week. He might ask you to go on an errand that's going to cause you to be pinched and uncomfortable. Come on, you guys, you're not your own. You're a bond slave. You know, bond slaves don't get put out when they're asked to do something. If you're asked to do something by the Lord, through Pastor Matt, that's how it works sometimes. But it might just be the Lord asking you, will you do it? Will you do it? Let's do it. What do you say we're all in? Honey, you know, we've been talking a lot about bringing more joy into the river. Let the joy of the Lord flow in the river. Being under His Lordship and being full of joy that we get to serve the King of Kings. That's a great thing, guys. That's a great thing. Amy, any words that you want to say? My life is not my own. Is that what Dorothy said? My life is not my own. Watchman Nee, as you'll see in the notes, he says, you've come in a great place in your life when you realize and you recognize that your own life is not your own. It is His. You were dead, but now you are alive. That's not what it says, is it? You're alive unto God. Dead to self, alive unto God. So Hebrews 3:7 says, today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. How many of you heard His voice today? Then we're not hardening our heart. We're submitting, yielding, presenting, offering all that we are, all that we have. Jesus is Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Church family, if you need prayer for anything, please come to the front for prayer. And otherwise, we have fellowship in the back. We got some beautiful fellowship. We'd love to meet you in the foyer. And so God bless you. Give someone a hug and we'll see you outside.